Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. And, Bob, I guess it's an eve of Christmas Eve edition of Basic Gospel, and we're going to have some fun today. Friends, want you to be a part of it. If you have a question that you'd like to pose, something in the Bible you can't quite understand, if there's something going on in life that's giving you some trouble, well, we'd love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742 is the number in the U.S. and Canada. So give us a call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Just a note on our program for the next several days. We're going to have some special Christmas programming tomorrow, Christmas Day. And then Monday, I am so excited about what we're going to be broadcasting that day. It is a story of faith, a story of courage, a story of love, a story of family. It's the story of Shannon and Sarah Stillwell, who live in Midland, Texas, and who a number of years ago decided to adopt, and they did their adoption through a Ukrainian adoption agency. So they went from Midland all the way to Ukraine to adopt their first. They had four biological kids, and they wanted to add to the family. So they adopted this just beautiful little boy named Maxim, and then they met another boy in that same orphanage, and several years later they adopted him. And it is just a fascinating story. It's one of the most moving stories that I've heard in many, many, many years. You know, Bob, we talk about hear it, believe it, live it.
Right.
This is a story of living out the gospel, overcoming fears, allowing the love of God to compel you and constrain you in such a way that you move out of your comfort zone to do something for someone else in such a powerful way. So that is Monday, the Shannon and Sarah Stillwell story. We're going to call it the adoption into sonship.
Wow.
And it is a beautiful, beautiful story. You're going to be inspired. You're going to be encouraged. You're just going to be grateful hearing their hearts just share the love of God in such a wonderful and practical way.
We'll be looking forward to that, Bob.
Yes, indeed. Well, now in the meantime, let's take a look at another passage about Christmas. And over the last 3 days, we've looked at several passages that aren't necessarily tied to Christmas for the most part, but they do tell the Christmas story.
Right.
And today is the same. It's Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 5. And this is a book about joy, and that's what the Christmas season is all about. I think about Beethoven's Ode to Joy, and what a marvelous piece of music that is. You just feel that joy in every single note. Well, this book of Philippians is about joy and why we can rejoice and be content in life. And the reason we can have that joy is because of what Christ Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
And so here in verse 5 of chapter 2, Paul says this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So he's talking about not doing anything out of selfish ambition, but thinking of others' needs more so than your very own. And he's talking about an attitude of humility. So he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you're going to have this mindset. Now, here's the mindset: who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So this was the mindset of Jesus Christ. I mean, in the beginning, he was there. He's always existed. He and the Father are one. All things were created by him and for him and through him. This is Jesus. This is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
He is the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. So he is fully God, and yet at a point in time he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Here's the Christmas story, isn't it?
Yes.
So what is that a picture of? It's a picture of humility. Now, why is that so important? Well, it's important for us because we're going to receive the Lord in that same humble attitude. So he entered into this world through humility. He humbled himself. We humble ourselves. We recognize the truth. We recognize that we need a Savior. And in humility, we receive him. We call upon his name and we're saved. So humility surrounds this gospel story. God gives grace to the humble, but he rejects the proud. So Jesus Christ made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ didn't need to be obedient to anyone.
No.
He is sufficient and enough in and of himself. That's what the phrase, the name I am, means. He is what he is. He's always going to be what he is. That's just Jesus. That's just God. But as a man, he walked in humble obedience to his Father, even to the point of death. Now, it's the will of the Father that you and I be made holy. It was the will of the Father that you and I have our sins taken care of, that we be cleansed and forgiven once and for all, that we be made and declared righteous. Now, the only way that could happen was through death. And so Jesus Christ humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Somebody that died on a cross during the days of Jesus in the Roman Empire died because they were the lowest of lows in society. They were a criminal element, and Jesus died with criminals. He died a humble, excruciating, humiliating death. But he did so for you and for me. He did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He despised the shame for the joy set before him, and that was the joy of knowing what we could experience by grace through faith in him. Now, what does God do in response to this? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. You look at the birth of Jesus Christ, how it took place in an obscure village, Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Just shepherds mainly populated that little community. It wasn't highly regarded or highly respected, but this was the town that Jesus was born in. There was not even space for their family to find adequate housing, so they were probably housed within a cave, connected to a home, and they had to put Jesus, the baby Jesus, in a manger, a stone feeding trough for where the cattle came and ate and drank and those sort of things. These were humble beginnings for the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't a fitting welcome as far as he is concerned, who he is, but that's how he came into this world. He died in humiliation as well on a Roman cross, but in all of that, God the Father exalted him. Why? Because he did what was necessary to save you and me. And so his name is above every name, and his is the name that we call upon so that we can be saved.
Absolutely. What a story. Thank you,
yes,
Bob,
indeed.
For that. Wonderful Christmas story, and we can celebrate that year-round. Well, friends, we're looking at a year-end need to keep this message going, something around $210,000 in total. But in Christmas time, well, it's a great time to consider what Jesus indeed has done for us and to make a generous gift to help Basic Gospel end this year and continue to proclaim him as we go into the year 2021. Free to continue the message to get it out to all who have ears to hear. Well, please go online to basicgospel.net and click donate. Help us reach that 210, and we would love to see that happen. And when you make like your Christmas gift to help this ministry, well, we want to send you a copy of Bob's latest CD series. It's called Making the Case for Grace. It's a rich study through the heart of Romans. Again, please make your most generous Christmas time gift if you can to support Basic Gospel, and you can do that at basicgospel.net, or if you prefer to mail your gift, you can do that by addressing Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, and that's in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. We would love for you to partner with us in this message of unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, once again, open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Andrew, listening to us in North Carolina. Hi, Andrew. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Good to hear from y'all again. Enjoyed what you said a few minutes ago, and I'm enjoying your Sunday broadcast, too. My question I was asking is called Isaiah 53:5, 1 John 3:2, and 1 Peter 2:24. On those verses, people have a lot of saying that we're supposed to be prosperous and we also should be healed from any sickness that we have, with a biblical question. And my next question is a question kind of dealing with life, and that one is, why are so many people who are Christian evangelistical people so supportive of Donald Trump, even to President Trump, even to the ends of wanting to change the election? And I'm trying to understand those two concepts. And so I would like to have you just expound on them.
So the first question is on Isaiah 53 and being healed by his stripes. That's right.
Is that Isaiah 53:5, 1 John 3:2, and also 1 Peter 2:24, because they all kind of deal with the same situation.
Yeah. Well, in those situations, I mean, what needed to be healed was our souls. So through faith in Jesus Christ, we're made whole or made complete. And that's the healing that the gospel brings to us. Now, as far as our bodies are concerned and physical illness and those sort of things, we're going to get new bodies. And that's going to happen when the Lord returns and when we go into the new heavens and the new earth. We're going to go in with a resurrected body, the same that Jesus had when he came out of that grave. And that, as far as healing of the body, that's when the ultimate healing of the body will take place. So this that he's talking about in Isaiah 53, 1 Peter, 1 John, this is really spiritual healing, the healing that we truly needed. That's at the very depths of who we are. When sin entered the picture, death entered the picture, you and I come into this world dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sins. What does the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ do? It forgives us our sins and it makes us alive together with Christ. And that's when we're made whole. That's when we're made complete in Jesus. I always think, Andrew, of the story of the 10 lepers who were on the side of a road, and Jesus passes, and they cry out, "Have mercy," and Jesus heals all 10, and they go to show themselves to the priest, and then one, a Samaritan, turns back, and he goes to Jesus and gives thanks, and Jesus asks the question, where are the other nine? And he didn't know. Jesus looked at the Samaritan and said, go, your faith has made you whole. Now, he had already been healed of the leprosy, but it was this response of faith to Jesus, this giving of thanks to Jesus, that healed the soul, that healed that spirit. Okay. That's what those passages are really dealing with, how the gospel fixes us on the level of the Spirit in making us alive together with Christ Jesus. Now, as far as support...
Okay, can I ask you a question right quick before you get from that one? It's why so many ministers teach about this and so many people in the congregation believe it. And like on John 1, 3:1, it says, John the elder to my dear friend God, is whom I believe in the truth. Now, was that John speaking, Peter, Paul speaking just to Gaius, or were they speaking to everybody? And then, as before you get to the other question, why do so many different ministers and so many people in so many different congregations believe that it's a physical healing? Excuse me.
Well, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities for Jesus to heal somebody. And certainly his ministry, when he was here on planet Earth, there was a lot of physical healing that took place. But a lot of that was to underscore his real purpose and his real mission, and that was to give life to those who were dead in trespasses and sins. So, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000. That's a miracle, right? But in feeding the 5,000, he makes the proclamation, I am the bread of life. He who hungers and eats of me will never hunger again. So he's talking about a spiritual need that he's here to meet. He raises Lazarus from the dead. Talk about a miracle. That's a miracle. But in doing that, he proclaimed, I am the resurrection and life. And so he's speaking of the fact that when we come to Christ, we experience the power of that resurrection. God directs that toward us, and he raises us up so that we can walk in the newness of life. Now, why so many people want to focus on kind of health, wealth, and prosperity is because people are interested in those things, and it can generate some funds. I mean, you look at the crowd that followed Jesus, those 5,000 or so that were fed by him with the loaves and the fish, and they get up and they see Jesus is gone the next day, so they get in their boats and they cross over the Sea of Galilee to where Jesus was, and Jesus said, I know why you're here. You want more food, but don't put all your effort on food that is going to go in and then out. Put your effort in receiving the bread of life, this eternal food, which once you eat, you'll never hunger again. And those statements, those sayings were hard for the people to receive, so they walked away. They left Jesus because they were just interested in their physical well-being. And that's where a lot of people are today. They're just interested in their physical well-being. And so there are many, many ministers, there are many people, you know, who call themselves Christians that understand that people are interested in their physical well-being, and they take advantage of that. And they use these scriptures to take advantage of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense in that part. Can you deal with the oven? I thank you so much. You're always, you and Bob, Chris, y'all always, Bob Davis, you have so much insight, and you make it so simple.
Well, that's what we try to do. We try to keep it simple. Now, as far as evangelical support for Trump, I that's not a mystery. It's not something that you know, we need to spend hours and hours and hours upon to try to figure it out. Trump had a very pro-life stance. He said a lot of things, pro-life, against abortion. His platform, the Republican platform, was very pro-life, and that touched a nerve, touched the heart of many evangelicals, and I think they said, we're going to vote for the platform, not necessarily for the man. So it was their vote, their support was platform driven, and it was primarily attached to the pro-life issue and the judges that might be appointed that could help make decisions in relationship to that pro-life issue. So I think that's the real reason there is such huge evangelical support for Trump in this country.
Okay, even if a lot of the elections have been decided, it's still supporting. And I just want to thank you again for everything that you said, and I appreciate you so much. And I want to wish you and Bob George and Bob Christie and everybody a very Merry Christmas and your staff, too. Thank you for all you do. And I'm going to go ahead and make my contribution when I got the phone.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank
we appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas, for sure.
Always love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Take care,
all right,
friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tomorrow and Friday, which is, of course, Christmas Day on Basic Gospel, it's the Christmas story, the birth and the events surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope you'll tune in for that tomorrow and Friday, Christmas Day, of course. Between now and our next live broadcast, we encourage you to fill up our voicemail system with your Bible questions or concerns. We'll respond to your call here at Basic Gospel on the live broadcast. So call now or anytime at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in from a YouTube viewer. He describes himself as Brainy Smurf, kind of a fun little name that he's adopted, but a serious question is attached. Can a man be forgiven if he deliberately sins after receiving the Holy Spirit and repents and confesses it to God? Will God still forgive me, he asks. I hope you will answer me. Please, please, please. That's from a YouTube viewer, Brainy Smurf.
Yes, well, the issue is really this. Are you in Christ or not? Are you saved or not? Because if you're in Christ, the Bible is very clear that in Christ you have redemption. You have it. This isn't something you're going to get. This isn't something that's going to be doled out to you over time. This is what you presently, currently have. In Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So the question really isn't about forgiveness. The question is about whether or not you are in Christ alive or if you're in Adam dead. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when you turn to Christ by faith, when you hear that story, the good news, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that story pierces through and touches your heart, and you respond in faith, you cross over from death to life, you're taken out of Adam by the Spirit of God, and you are placed into Jesus Christ. And being placed into Jesus Christ, all the benefits and the gifts from the death, the burial, and resurrection, procured through the death, the burial, and resurrection, become yours. So in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. In Christ, you are a forgiven person. There's no more forgiveness that you're going to get. There's no more forgiveness that you need. So you need to learn how to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, the willful sin in Hebrews is the rejection of the cross of Jesus Christ. It is a rejection of Jesus. So that's a lost person.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Christ, then you have forgiveness and you can trust the Spirit of God to move in you, to teach you to say no to worldly temptations and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation.
Brainy Smurf, I hope that's a help to you.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You for reaching out. Good to hear from you, friend. Well, friends, thank you for joining us on this eve of Christmas Eve for Basic Gospel, and thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel every month. Please keep in mind that we need your help to reach a need of $210,000 by the 31st. Your Christmas time gift, large or small, will help. And to say thanks for your December gift, we'll send you the new Roman CD series by Bob Christopher called Making the Case for Grace, and it's a great case to make. Please make your most generous Christmas time gift at BasicGospel.net. You can also mail your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. That's online at BasicGospel.net or by mail to 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Either way, be sure to request your copy of the CD series that Bob has produced called Making the Case for Grace. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for our Christmas Eve edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.